Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Welcome to the number one Bengals podcast.
Number one.
I'm your host, Teddy McDuke. I'm joined, as always, by Dr. Hoji Dilekta Kismoji. Well, not always. Well, not always. We did not have Hoji on the show for a few weeks.
That's right, Daddy-o.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you know, you asked me about my where I've been, and I thank you for that.
I didn't ask you because we have to introduce our guest.
I want to tell you a little bit about my journey. Okay. Yeah. As you know, Daddy-o, I weighed a whopping 340 pounds. And now I've come down to 336 pounds. Amazing transformation on my journey. We used to have to use makeup, camera angles to make me look as svelte as I look now. Daddy, I can wear HE Slims. You know what I mean? HE Slims. I can wear them. Not everybody can. It's my special brand of clothing that I'm wearing now that you see me in. I look beautiful and I'm so happy to be wearing HE Slims. Now, any man can wear HE Slims. HE stands for Hoji the Electric. It also means he, which is the pronoun for males.
So I'm familiar. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So and everybody can wear, but no fatties, no heifers, no porkers.
Right.
What is going on? I didn't know Hoji was coming back. I wouldn't have joined if I knew this.
Yeah. So we got John back in this.
Same here, John. Same here.
And we have, guys, I haven't even got to introduce our guest. I'm talking about the most interesting, unique, fun, hilarious podcast. Not the number one Bengals podcast, but the most British podcast we have, the Cincinnati podcast, which is hosted by Paul Hirons and Nate Palmer, who I just adore. I adore both of them. And for years, we've been trying to get them on the podcast to get some of that positive energy. So how are you two guys?
Going good, Daddy-o. John, nice to meet you. And Doctor, always a pleasure. Thanks for having us on. It's great to be here.
You're welcome.
Absolute pleasure to come on, guys. And I look forward to chatting Bengals news with you boys.
Yeah. Thanks. Okay. I know the Bengals have fans in the UK. I'm imagining it's in the 10s or 20s. I don't know how many. But it's probably more in the States. We have over 100 Bengals fans because some of our videos have gotten over 100 hits. I'm assuming we have over 100 Bengals fans. But how many of you are there, and
why?
Yeah, I mean, why?
You could have picked any team. You picked. I mean, is it that British humor? Is there a degree of sarcasm in your being a Bengals fan?
I think it's purely masochism, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Great answer.
I don't know. We are the fifth most followed UK fan group on Twitter, which is pretty staggering, really. And as you guys know, we like to shout quite loudly and do lots of silly things and initiatives and things like that. So, yeah, I think we're looking up to 1,000 fans in the UK, I would imagine.
That's amazing. I have a theory. My theory is that UK residents decide to become fans of American football teams that they think they have a hope of, you know, relocating to the UK. So like the Jaguars.
You want to colonize them.
Yeah.
Expand the empire.
That's It could be that. It could be that. That is like
the sun never sets on the Cincinnati Bengals. That's the idea. I get it. And I like it. I'm for it.
So, yeah. So, guys, please, how are the Bengals' moves being received? The free agency moves? Because, look, some people are being kind of negative. I actually love the moves. I love that we got the tackle. I love that we're further solidifying that defense. What is the opinion over there? Is it as divided as some of the other recent political, you know, is it topping the news?
I'll let Nathan answer this because he's got his shirt slightly open. He's revealing a bit of chest hair. I think he means business. So go on, mate.
I'm on the fence, lads. I think some of the moves have been good. I think bringing in the tackle, Riley Reiff, is a great move. I think that's a clear upgrade on what we had last year in Bobby Hart. I do think losing William Jackson and Carl Lawson are huge losses. I think they're two of the best players on our defence. It's not going to be easy to replace those guys. Mike Hilton and Eli Apple, solid signings. Mike Hilton more so, I think, than Apple. He's probably more of a depth piece. I don't think we're done, though. I mean, there's still time, obviously, to bring in an interior lineman like maybe Turner. I know we've obviously got Quinton Spain back now. Ryan Kerrigan's being thrown around as a name today that's coming in for a visit, so he could sign. I think there's a connection with him and the defensive coordinator. So it could be, it's getting there. They've certainly been more aggressive and made more moves from a quantity perspective in the last sort of week or two than they ever have in the past, which is encouraging. You know, the Bengals typically take a bit of a backseat in free agency, but I'm not obviously convinced, even with the number of moves, that we're a better team than we were a week and a half ago. We might be, but I'm not convinced as of yet.
Do you understand, Nate, the logic behind why the Bengals must always take a backseat during free agency? I don't get it. Why haven't they stepped up their game? Why not change the discourse, as they say? Shift the paradigm, as they say. Why not? What's wrong with...
I think one of the things, and we talked about this on Cincinnati last week, that might is a challenge for the Bengals is that Zach Taylor is really on the hot seat. And to convince free agents to come over to a team that may well make a head coach change in a year's time is difficult, because are you going to want to sign a 3 or 4 year deal on big guaranteed money with Cincinnati when they don't, they're in that sort of period of transition? Obviously, Cincinnati as well is always going to struggle to compete with bigger markets like New York and Los Angeles and Seattle and places like that, that potentially people might have connections to or family issues.
There's
a multitude of factors there. So I think sometimes for the Bengals, you know, and realistically, are we a contender in the next year or two? Probably not. No. And that was going to factor into people's decisions. Are we capable of outpaying someone like the New York Jets for someone like Carl Lawson? Well, it's always going to be a challenge. So I always think that's something that potentially is something that we can't see behind the scenes, but that does hinder us a bit.
Yeah. It's crazy to think about what happened to poor Dunlap. I was amazed. Yeah. I mean, he did so well. What's going to happen to Dunlap? Does anybody know?
He'll get a deal. He'll get a deal. Probably about half of what he was.
He was so talented, that Carlos Dunlap. You know, and he kept telling us he was going to come on the show, and he never did, and that's okay.
Yeah. He's been on our show twice, just to drop that in there. So.
Wait, what?
Well, I don't want to throw that in there, you know.
Yeah.
I will say that is great that he is doing these, you know, other podcasts. But I think if he just got he got more recognition, if he went on the number one Bengals podcast, perhaps he wouldn't be in the situation he's in.
I tell you this, when I first started asking Carlos Dunlap to come on the show, I was a DILF and now I'm a GILF. That's how much time has passed.
Wow.
Yeah. DILF stands for dad. The D stands for
doctor.
Dad.
Doctor, I would.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But now I'm a grandpa.
Yeah. Right. You know, guys, can I just say something? We actually have a caller who wants to talk to you. He is another UK Bengals fan.
Get it wrong.
He is in Shannon, Ireland. He's at the airport. He works there. And so let's bring him in. Matt Ledbetter is calling in.
Ah, Matt, yes. Matt, how you doing, man?
What's going on? Nate, John, Doctor, Daddy, peace, and all good things to you people. How are you today? Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, that is a very interesting accent. Where are you from, Matt?
I am from Ludlow. I know the Ludlow accent can be tough. I apologize.
I love Ludlow. I love Ludlow. For those of you who don't know, it's a town. It means town on the hill by Loudwater, and it's in Shropshire. And it's actually they have some revolutionary techniques for maintaining their security. It was the first recorded royal permission to maintain defensive town walls. It was given to the men of Ludlow, which is fascinating.
Not good.
And it's just something.
Yes.
Yeah.
I didn't know Daddy was as smart, to be honest with you.
Yeah, he's got
logs. John, we've been hearing rumors because that you spent a little bit of time in the UK.
I did. So I'll explain why. So as you know, John is at the DNH Sports headquarters in Cincinnati. And our gas bills have been through the roof because John likes to use warm water when we do our winter shows. So I went to the UK because they have these separate taps. And so I wanted to get the separate taps because, you know, the hot water is so hot, you can't really use it. So John just ends up using the cold water, and it has really helped the show economically. So yeah. That is why I was in the UK.
And if I can add, it doesn't help the show's budget that they are currently in a lawsuit by yours truly. I'm suing the show for trauma because I have to report on a team that will never win. And it's been
I'm glad you actually went through that. I didn't know you're actually going to go through with that.
Oh, yeah.
I seem to have opened a can of worms here. But is it true, Daddy-O, also, we've got friends in the police, and that you were deported? Is that correct?
Yes.
The laws there are a little different in terms of the working.
Sweatshop.
Yeah, the sweatshop.
I heard it was a massage parlor. You got into some trouble.
No. Is that all right?
He was reading too much Dickens. He was reading Charles Dickens, and he was trying to recreate the classic.
Yeah, The times have changed. But you know, guys, I love that he's from Ludlow. Did you guys know Ludlow is a gastronomic center that may have been inspiration for Robin Hood?
I think he's from the Ludlow that's close to Cincinnati, Daddy.
Matt, please. Yes, please, go ahead. Yeah, go ahead. So you're from Ludlow, and how did you become a Bengals fan in the UK?
Ludlow in the UK, yeah, that's where I'm from. It's a long story. I suppose it started when I was a commercial fisherman.
Yeah.
And you know the neon fish, the little ones that you put in the fish tank. I used to be a commercial fisherman for neon fish. And what I would do is go out in my vessel and scoop up all the neon fish I could to all the pet stores. And then I was shipwrecked on South Village Island. Rescued. I was rescued by the good doctor, Dr. Hoji.
There you go.
He rescued me. And I don't know if you guys know Dr. Hoji. He is a vegan. Yes. He did not approve of my commercial fishing.
No.
So he convinced me, and I sold the business. I actually sold the business to Daddy-O. He's big time capitalist, and he wanted to make a little money, so I sold my business, and then in there, I became a Bengals fan. I followed Dr. Hyde.
There you go. That is a very long-winded way of becoming a Bengals fan. That's fascinating. So Matt, we were just talking about what it's like to be a Bengals fan in the UK, what the expectations are like over there, because I feel like our fans I think one thing that the UK residents and the Americans can agree on for the first time in their history is that this offseason grade deserves like a B, maybe a C+. It wasn't that impressive.
I guess.
So where did they go from here? Yeah. So who else? Who guys? Just for everybody, who else do they need to add here before the draft, where you feel confident they can go after the best player available?
I mean, what about like an English bullhorn on the offensive line? I mean, what about Joe Burrow? What are we going to do about Joe Burrow? Where is Joe Burrow? How is Joe Burrow? You know, that's my question. What are you going to do to defend Joe Burrow? How are you going to protect Joe Burrow? Yeah. When do I get to see Joe Burrow? These are my questions.
These are a lot of questions. Yeah, they're mostly related to Joe Burrow. Paul, we haven't heard from you. So Larry Warford is still out there. And
I don't think we're going to sign another offensive lineman. I genuinely think that they... We'll leave it to the draft. I think they think that having Spain and Xavier Seufilo is enough. That's the feeling, and that's based on nothing. Yeah, I don't think they're going to sign another guy. And I know there's this kind of Houtre movement hashtag out there, like there was with the hashtag Golladay. But I don't know. I think they will just draft two linemen. I think they'll go for a tackle and a guard in the draft, and they're content with where they are on the offensive line at this moment, regardless of whether we think whether we're content or not.
But Paul, have they not been watching the show? Have they not been watching the fact that our own John Sheeran has said that drafting a lineman is not the answer, that we need veterans? Have they not been paying attention to that? We've been saying it over and over again, John.
Well, they kind of have. They have signed Quintus Spain, and they have.
I know the fleet and all that.
You know, they are.
I mean, someone good.
Well, that's the problem. Whether you can argue whether they're actually any good or not,
John. John, let's talk about upside. Trey Turner, Larry Warford, Quinton Spain. How do they compare in terms of upside?
Well, I know one of them. They had one of them play for last year. Like, a lot of talk has been going on about Larry Warford. We don't even know if he wants to play football again. We have heard nothing about him this entire free agency period. He obviously opted out last year due to COVID-19, and they had some interest, I believe, in signing him. But we don't have any idea what is out there for Larry Warford right now. So I think until we hear anything in regards to him, we can kind of just table him off to the side. And I think Trey Turner has been coming up a lot because of all the remaining options that are out there. He at least has had a past where he's been successful, and he's still on the younger side, I think on 27, 28 years old. So he at least has that relative upside compared to guys like Nick Easton or Zach Fultz and whoever else is at guard. But I think along with what Paul is saying, regardless of if they add a veteran, I think the most impactful, significant addition that you will see is in the draft, because it doesn't matter really who they sign along with Quinton Spain on the market. It doesn't really affect what you should and can do in the draft to improve that spot.
Yeah.
So if you think that they've signed Spain and they have Sir Philo under contract, that does, I mean, okay, you can argue whether they're any good or not, and I'll argue they're kind of average to above average. That your spots are filled there. You know, you've got Hakeem Adeniji, Billy Price, Michael Jordan, they're your backups, and I fully expect them to go in the draft now to pick up some linemen. And I think the key signing was Riley Reiff. I absolutely think that was it. If they hadn't have signed Riley Reiff, you could kind of say that this free agency class, there was no real improvement. And I think with Riley Reiff, at least in that position, and I would argue Mike Hilton is also... those two guys especially have dramatically, well, not dramatically, but certainly improved those two positions. And, of course, with Riley Reiff and right tackle, it's a crucial position as well. So I'm giving it a C grade, Nathan. What about you?
There you go.
Yeah, I'd probably give it a C as well. I don't think we've got noticeably worse. But I've got a question for you, Sonny. We've got Riley Reiff now coming in. Obviously, you've got Jonah Williams. If they go Penei Sewell at 5, which just about every mock draft out there seems to have them going for, obviously he'd be a good player coming in there, we'd expect. Who are the starting tackles day one if you've got those three guys in your locker room?
Yeah, John.
Oh, was it to me? I'm sorry about that.
Yeah, nobody else knows about this stuff, please.
Right, so I think if Sewell's here, ideally you want to get him on the starting field. You don't want to have him sit behind those two tackles. I think you could theoretically play him at guard just for him to clean up some of the issues that he has. And he does still have issues. You're not talking about a clear plug-and-play Pro Bowler from day one. That's, I think, what everyone should kind of realize if you're adding this guy in there. I think it comes down to whoever amongst Riley Reiff and Penei Sewell is more comfortable at guard, that is where you should go. And I think if you want to have Sewell at right guard for a year and then move him out to right tackle, kind of like what they did with Andrew Whitworth back in the day before they moved him out to left tackle, I think that's fine. But if you want to have Reiff there just as your stopgap right guard and have a guard to develop behind him later in the draft, that's also a viable option.
It's also a viable option where they actually kind of redshirt Penei Sewell for a part of the year. He was... Obviously, he didn't play last year at all. From what I hear and read, that he's a phenomenal talent, potentially a generational talent, but he's still, as you say, John, quite raw in some aspects. Is there a chance that they could draft him and sit him for 6-7 games, just rotate him in, swing tackle, that kind of thing?
There'll be an injury as well. He'll get his chance if you were to redshirt him. Like, there's always injuries on that offensive line. It wouldn't take long for him to get plugged in at some point and be a starter if you were going to take that approach.
Well, let me just ask John something. Yeah, John, okay. A lot of people talk, look, playing tackle is different than guard. We all know that.
Yeah.
And
I didn't know
Sewell,
that.
Yeah, they're different positions, but Sewell is a tackle. Not everybody can make the transition to guard. So can you tell us a little bit about what attributes he has or what it takes to move around the offensive line and why you think he can or cannot?
It's a lot about athleticism and size. I think with Sewell, he's a mammoth out there. He's got like 35-inch arms, and he played around 330 in Oregon, so he has plus athleticism for that size. The main difference is how wide and how long are your sets in pass protection, because you're not really getting out there and running around edge rushers on the edge there. So it's a little more compact. And if you have the length and the athleticism to get out of your standstill, in run blocking sets, like, you should be fine. I think obviously Sewell has never played guard before. If they just drill him in throughout the entire offseason to start him there, I think he'll be fine. But obviously it is a projection and it is a transition.
Fun fact. I mean, like, let's say like Fred Johnson, who was on our show. I don't know if he was on your guys' show.
No, I don't think he was. I think
we had Zach Taylor on at the same time as
Zach.
Fred
Johnson. Zach Taylor doesn't. Yeah, he doesn't play. Yeah.
He's for the older generation.
Yeah. But that's okay. It's okay. Yeah. Look, you take what you can get. I get it, guys. But look, Fred Johnson.
The Fred Johnson.
He's a very promising tackle. He was solid, pretty good. Yeah. But as a guard, he was very different. So there, I guess it's the length and the sets, the way he sets his body, right, John? I mean, is that the difference between
leverage is very important when you're playing it more inside because you have smaller defensive tackles than who can get under your pads, and that's like how Geno Atkins won all the time against other guards. So I mean, he has to, you know, make sure he has his pad level correctly. That's why Michael Jordan has struggled. At 6'6", he has terrible pad length, unfortunately. He can't get lower, and he loses the leverage battle a lot, and that compounds a lot of other issues. So it would be a transition. It would be a more of a projection, but you're obviously not going to play Penei Sewell long-term at right guard. That's just because you have a guy in Riley Reiff, and still, you can ask Riley Reiff to move into right guard for this year. I don't think he would have a problem with that. So it's really up to their decision.
Yeah. Well, speaking of transitions...
Is it too late to get people in free agency? Like, if I have a recommendation, can I make it?
Yeah, sure. Go ahead.
Do it on the show.
What about DeMar Dotson? Isn't he a free agent?
Oh, man. Isn't he like 35?
He's 34. He's 34. He's still got legs. 1985 birthday.
Forgot all about him.
Yeah. So, everybody forgot about him. Why not get him?
Is 34 too young or too old, guys, to play? I think
it's still Gilf age. He's definitely not Gilf age yet.
He can't grow a mustache like this, I think. But guys, I was just going to say, John was talking about making the transition. I want to make a transition and talk about our sponsor, eBay. Because guys, whether it is the rare dead stock or the latest release, you can find the exact shoe that you're looking for, Paul, Nate, Matt, John, and Hoji.
Yeah.
It is the original sneaker marketplace. It's the place to go to cop the pair that you've been eyeing. You can just go and find the place that you're... And then with eBay's authenticity guarantee, your sneakers are meticulously inspected by independent professional authenticators. And so you can go to ebay.com/sneakers today. eBay, the world's best destination for discovering great value and unique selection. I want to make sure you guys... I just want to tell you about that.
That just came up randomly.
Just came randomly. To your mind. It did, yeah.
So the authenticators are the cops? Is that what you said?
Yeah, it seems like it. So it is a little scary,
Matt,
I guess.
Most of this is going on in the back of a pickup truck. Daddy's pickup truck. That's how he says the shoes.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's how I sold
In the middle of the night, he'll roll through your neighborhood.
Yeah, but if you're... Matt, if
once
you're
the
having...
siren comes on, you hear the screeching and the smoke, and he's gone.
Okay. But can you pass on this deal, Matt? If you're selling a sneakers more than $100, it is free to flip them or sell them.
Oh, absolutely. For sure. Yeah.
So, Matt, we haven't heard from you.
Matt.
So, please, I know everybody, Nate and Matt, I know they're on a tight schedule. So just what would you say they need to do? What have they not done? What's your grade for the offseason so far? Let's start there.
Grade? I don't know. They've improved their defensive backs. I think they did. William Jackson does hurt, but I think the addition of Hilton, Apple, I feel like that's a wash. I feel like they improved, especially if they can get the other corner that they signed last year back. I think they're going in the right direction. Their offensive line, I feel like it's better. It's a good enough, probably not, but is it better than it was? Yeah, I think so. I'm always an optimist. I'm going to stick with the B grade and throw out a B.
And don't forget Pollock, Matt. Did you mention Frank Pollock's back? I mean, that's the big news.
Yeah, I suppose coaching makes a difference.
With the offensive line for sure. Yeah. And he did a very good job at the Bengals. I was surprised that they were able to get him back, but I guess they weren't happy with him on the East Coast.
Yeah. Hey, that's fine. One man's trash.
One man's trash, my treasure. Yeah.
For sure.
So, guys, let's move on to the next topic.
Veganism.
Have finally caught up with our puppet show and some other shows. They've realized that the Bengals have actual fans who go online and want to see content. So the past year or so, they've been putting out content, and I've got to say, it has hurt the ratings. I'm not.
Who are they? Who are they, Daddy? We missed you. Cut out.
Okay. So
who are you talking about?
The Bengals. So we're talking about Elizabeth Blackburn. We're talking about Emily Parker, Mina Kremer. We're talking about these guys who are actually gals who are revolutionizing the way we receive the Bengals' losses and wins. Eventually, they're going to win. So the way that we engage with the losses and eventually the wins is very different from when you and I were growing up, Oji. Well, when you and I were growing up, I mean, let's be honest. I mean,
we didn't have internet, but we had shadow puppets.
Exactly. Yeah. So now, you know, there is so much the Bengals, like, you know, we're talking about that trash bag, whatever, on the internet where they put Galladay or whatever.
I don't know what that is.
The thing where they put and everybody started tweeting about it. What's it called? With the four lines, with
the hash browns.
Yeah,
the hash browns.
Do you guys have hash browns over there? Because I know it's very rough. I know you have a lot of potatoes, so much you don't know what to do with them. But the potatoes, can you make them into hash browns?
No.
It's okay?
No, our potatoes are, you can't do anything with them apart from boil them and roast them. That's it.
Hash browns
are not allowed.
I think that's why Daddy-O was deported. He tried to order some hash browns.
He was hashing the browns.
I was there when the Brexit happened, and so much stuff, you'd be surprised. You actually need other countries to survive. And all that we had in the UK was potatoes after a certain point. Because everything else was coming from like Italy or
the first island he's been deported from, by the way. He was actually deported from our own island.
He's on island 3 right now.
Yeah, he's on island 3.
Wait a minute. Would you
basically, Daniel, you're an international criminal. That's what you are. Masquerading as a Cincinnati Bengals podcast host.
I'll be honest with you. I've had a lot of severance packages. I'll just say that. Yeah, it's not really crime the way, at my level. It's not crime, yeah. Okay, so we're talking about the trash bags and just that the Bengals fans have been waiting for this opportunity to make some noise. So that is on you guys and on us. But what do you think ultimately? Because John has a more kind of jaded, more mature kind of outlook where he's like, nothing really matters. Yeah, it's like he doesn't think that my opinion reaches the Bengals, right?
I think.
What do you guys think? Yeah,
we discussed, Nathan and I discussed this on our podcast, probably the number two podcast, the Bengals podcast, I would say.
Yeah,
we both come from, I'm a journalist and worked in PR, and Nathan runs his own marketing business. So, you know, it's been quite interesting to watch how the Bengals have evolved in that area. And what they're doing is nothing particularly new or rocket science-y, do you know what I mean? It is just something that you expect them to do, and they haven't done ever on this level. But what they have done is fantastic. It just, the stuff that they've said, again, is not really rocket science or anything new. But it needed to be said because it hadn't been said before. And I think that's why fans are going mad because they're going nuts for it because hasn't been said before. So full kudos to Elizabeth. And I know that you had Emily on a few weeks ago. She's always done a terrific job. They're certainly more visible now. And I think that's interesting. And Nate and I were saying, you know, it's almost the mission statement that they put out was almost like a pitch that Nathan would make to a client. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. It's like a full PowerPoint deck, PowerPoint display.
I'm all for financial exploitation.
When it comes to marketing, you are preaching to the choir. Daddy-O is the Bernie Madoff of secondhand shoes. I mean, this man will sell, you know, icicles to people who live at the Arctic. This guy is into capitalism.
In the worst possible way, by the way. That is a compliment. Any way you put it, that's a compliment.
But Nathan, Nathan, what did you think of the whole kind of thing there?
Yeah, it's fantastic. It's smart marketing. It's speaking to your audience. And I think at the moment where the Bengals haven't had a couple of good years, that's what you want to hear. I know it sounds silly and not quite obvious, but you want to hear they want to win. And that's with stuff like, you know, looking at the Ring of Honor and like the new uniforms and, you know, even the tribute video they did for AJ Green, just acknowledging their star players and giving a nod to that. And I think they've definitely got better at it. I think the straw that broke the camel's back was the famous Who Day on a Scooter schedule release, when a lot of other organizations really went out of their way to produce some extremely bespoke quality content. And I think after that sort of like, oh, this is a bit crap, and it's some geezer on a scooter driving around the town, like amateurishly filmed, wasn't up to standard. And I think ever since, and whether that's Marissa or it's, you know, some of the other guys behind the scenes pulling the strings, the standard of the social media content, the standard of the comms, the PR, all the rest of it has been fantastic. So full credit.
I just think it's
a difficult product as well. You know, obviously they're not winning on the field, so it makes your job a lot more difficult.
The product is Joe Burrow. That's the product.
I would say, I just want to defend the Tiger on the scooter. I think a big thing is that expectations are a lot higher. Like when we were younger, you remember, Hoji, there were just two guys that played with the Tiger in Las Vegas and they were sold out every week.
Yeah,
and
now they have them really hurt, by the way.
I think the younger generation is unappreciative, guys. Like our show, you know, is so fascinating and so engaging.
But now
we have 21 people watching it, you know. It should be like 21 million, right?
Right.
But you know, I just want to say this, Paul, you were saying they're talking a lot and they're talking the way they're supposed to talk in branding, but they're also doing stuff. Let's be honest.
Yeah, sure.
They just won't admit it, but we got Emily Parker to basically admit that they have a Ring of Honor. It is not going to be the nicest looking one. It's just a banner. I think Mike Brown's, you know, nephews who are also the two.
They're going to throw some Tootsie Rolls on the floor. It's going to be,
his two nephews who are also the two scouts for the team, Huey and Louie. They wrote with Magic Marker on like some old socks of Mike Brown, I think, very large socks. And those are the banners. And then, but they're also doing, what was it? They threw a tarp over this outdoor facility, and you can call it the indoor facility now because it's not as wet. I think I saw a picture. I don't know if you saw. So they're actually
Do live walkthroughs, but crawl throughs instead of walkthroughs, can't you now? You can just crawl underneath that tarp and do the walkthroughs now. That's enough. That's probably more of an indoor facility than they've ever had before in their life.
I'm just saying that the change is real. I mean, John believes in the change. I know John has changed so much. Before we got Burrow and Elizabeth Blackburn, John was like, what's the point of anything? Why do we do anything? And now he's like, go ahead, John. What are you like?
He was like a sad song.
Just like Paul said, like, you know, masochism is a great entryway to Bengals fandom. I think for me, it was like I just devolved into nihilism. And now it's more along the lines of, it's okay.
So you're dead inside, basically. Yeah. So no, Matt,
I feel like I'm just there.
Matt, look, what is it like over there in Ludlow with Robin Hood and the princes and all the stuff? Are they? How merry are they about this new direction of the Bengals? Yeah.
Well, I just figured something. You invited me on because I'm from the UK. Now,
right.
So you didn't mean Upper Kentucky.
No, I
you
did not.
You meant the United Kingdom.
Yeah.
Oh man, how embarrassing is this then? Oh man. Yeah, I'm on the wrong show.
You're always welcome here. You're as my protege, you are always welcome here, Matt.
So he's from Ludlow, Upper Kentucky?
Yeah.
That's it.
I knew that. I didn't want to say anything. Yeah. I knew that. I mean, man. couldn't you guys tell from the accent?
Let me get this straight. Kentucky is not in the UK either. Is that what you're saying?
And also Matt lives in Ireland, so it's not technically the UK.
It depends which part of it.
So can I ask something? Can everybody understand each other here? Because I know that Matt has an accent and Paul and Nate all have accents. So John.
Right. The only people without accents are me and Daddy. So it's really hard to understand everybody right now. But we're doing our best.
I hope I should have put brought a translator or put subtitles.
C-3PO.
Okay, guys, look. I think we have talked a lot about the Bengals and what they're doing.
We did.
And how sad they make us. So I don't want to take any more of your time. So last thing I want to say is everybody go and subscribe and leave a 5-star review for the Cincinnati podcast. It is really lively and fun, and they have B-list guests from the Bengals. They are trying to get some of the A-list guests like Fred Johnson, but they have some really good. No, I'm just joking. They have the best guests. They go back. You look at their podcast from the beginning. They've had the talk. I have no idea how they do it. I don't know how much money is involved and if we have that budget, but it's amazing. They have the top guests, right, guys? I mean, from the beginning, I think your first guest was like, I don't know, like Boomer Esiason or Ken Anderson or like something like that.
It was. I mean, we managed to get Ken Anderson on our sort of fourth or fifth episode, maybe.
Wow.
Okay. And
did you know it was Ken Anderson when he was, because
You were inebriated. Did you think maybe?
Which Ken Anderson? Did you know he played for the Bengals?
Well, I thought it was the guy next door, Mr. Anderson from next door, okay. But it wasn't. Okay. It was the Ken Anderson. And didn't we, Nathan? We kind of, after that, it was like, right, we need to stop being so drunk and disorderly. And
we were talking to him on the podcast, and that we'd be asking him questions, and then you'd like hear a beer crack open in the background, like, yeah. So when you were playing, we were like, oh, we've got to tidy our act up a bit, It's a bit more of a sober affair.
I refrain from anything that alters the mind. You know, I just, you know, maybe I sniff some Adderall, maybe just to get the show, just to get things going.
Yeah, get his energy. Yeah, and he does. Yeah, and he does pump a breathable form of laxatives to the studio to keep people running. I mean, that's the thing. And you're in Daddy's studio, you are going all the time. But
You'd be surprised. People eat a lot less and drink more water when they're in that situation. That saves you money too. You got to, like, Nate, I know you're into this stuff too, man. You're like my brother, man. We are the financial guys.
Don't accept that invitation, Nate. Say no. Shake your head no as he speaks, because You could be indicted. Believe me.
I'll be deported over to the States for you, Daddy-O.
Subscribe to their podcast only after you subscribe to ours, because we have three or four subscribers. I don't know. John, did she subscribe yet? I don't know. So we have John's mom.
I had to install YouTube first, so now we're in that process of actually subscribing.
So before you subscribe to their show, subscribe to ours, because they probably have like 40,000 subscribers. We have four. So yeah, so please subscribe to our show, leave a 5-star review. It's the number one Bengals podcast for Nate Palmer and Paul Hirons and Matt Ledbetter and John Sheeran and Dr. Hoji, the Electric Smoji. I'm Daddy McDuke. That is all we have. We'll see you next time. So long. It's sweetie. Hi.
H.E. Slims.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.